It's Helping Hand weekly feature airs statewide HPR1 stations on Fridays, then appears online, hawaiipublicradio.org, where all of our Helping Hand segments are archived and available for you. Every Friday afternoon, Helping Hand puts a spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to the disabled and others among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence, and this week we have a returning guest, and always appropriate to learn more about the domestic violence situation in the Aloha State. And we do so with the CEO from the Domestic Violence Action Center, who was our guest last year, and she has kindly returned to the program, Nancy Creedman. Aloha and mahalo. Thanks for being here and doing what you do.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the invitation.
You are welcome. Always an honor. And before we get into how you guys work and the services that you've got for folks at the Domestic Violence Action Center, how common is domestic violence in the Aloha State? What are some facts and figures to help put some context to it?
Well, one of the most fascinating things about the incidence or prevalence of domestic violence is that we don't really know how big a problem it is here locally or across the country. Many people choose not to report the problem, either to law enforcement or anyone else. They might have a confidential conversation with their private physician, which we wouldn't know about. They might have a confidential conversation with their reverend or their pastor that we wouldn't know about. So I would say with absolute certainty that we do not have a clear understanding of how large a problem it is.
Do we know what states are we worse? Are we the same? Is there any level of degree to which we are compared to the rest of the country, or we're all on equal footing with this mess?
I think we all share this challenge in terms of having a good understanding of how large a problem it is. I think it's safe to say also that most of us believe it's a pretty common phenomenon. I personally don't go anywhere anymore where somebody doesn't come up to me and take a moment to say, my first husband, my daughter, my next door neighbor, my coworker, my auntie, the person who sits next to me at church, my teacher, indicating that everybody in some way has encountered domestic violence.
Another way of maybe looking at it, because you point out a great aspect of this kind of crisis, which is it's a kind of a private thing. Your husband, your boyfriend, somebody, your father, whoever hits you, beats on you, you may not be so you may not be so quick to talk about it because who knows the can of worms it opens, and people have fears. They're not going to be believed. They don't want to screw up their life, and et cetera. There are a lot of reasons why people understandably may be hesitant to act on it. But how about your caseload? Each week, is there an average of 1 to 2 new cases, 3 cases, 5, 10, anything like that that's a signpost for how much is coming through the door?
Well, we're only one program. So with that disclaimer, I would say we probably receive 10 or more helpline calls a day. We see between maybe 8 and 15 petitioners for temporary restraining orders in family court.
Per day.
We have the opportunity to encounter a few or more teenagers or youth a week who reach out to our teen program, either as a function of having them visit their school or via our teen Instagram account. We have referrals from a partnership with Queen Emma Clinic at the Queen's Health System.
So when they run into trouble, they say, well, here's someone you can call. They can at least provide some support in these areas.
Correct. We have an advocate who is on site at the Queen Emma Clinic once a week. So that's another way we meet new survivors.
Statewide or just on this island?
These are the numbers I've just mentioned are on this island.
And is your organization operating statewide, or are you just in the Honolulu area?
Well, several of our programs, our teen program travels statewide. Our helpline serves and responds to statewide inquiries. Our direct services, client direct services, are on the island of Oahu.
Okay.
So we go to family court in the First Circuit, which is City and County of Honolulu. We have a partnership with the Honolulu Police Department, which also is First Circuit, City and County of Honolulu.
But through the helplines, I'm just reading into it, you'd be able to. So someone calls you and they're outside of the Honolulu area, they're on Kauai, whatever.
Right.
You're going to then try to steer them towards someone who can provide those direct services that you offer in Honolulu in their area.
If they are available.
Right.
We sort of have a unique array of program services. There are obviously domestic violence programs on every one of our neighbor islands.
So you do your best to steer them towards
one.
But
them, yeah, to connect them. But they may or may not be able to get some of the services
right, that you offer.
That we offer, yeah.
Let's hear about them. And so this is people who, or a loved one, have a need for this really vital array of services. Understandably difficult to maybe reach out and get this kind of help, but Nancy right. will lay out what is available that they offer from the Domestic Violence Action Center.
Yeah. So not everybody needs the same thing. Not every situation looks the same. A lot of times people have misconceptions or, you know, assumptions that domestic violence looks like this. Like everybody who is a victim of domestic violence would have a black eye
right.
or some sort of a broken nose or some kind of an injury like that. That is clearly not the case.
Right.
So you could call our helpline confidentially and anonymously and ask any question you have about the situation you're in.
24/7?
No, unfortunately, 8:30 to 4:30.
Okay.
Weekdays. You could ask about your legal rights. You could ask about resources. You could ask about shelter. You could ask about legal services. You could ask about child welfare. You could ask about your children. You could ask about anything pertaining to your legal rights, your particular circumstances, your safety, the level of risk that you might be in. And we answer all those questions as compassionately and
sure.
responsively as we can. The staff, I might say, is an incredible combination of loving, non-judgmental people who bear witness to incredible suffering here in Hawaii. If you happen to seek the family court's protection through a restraining order, you would have the opportunity to encounter one of our expo staff who are situated on site in family court, available to help answer any questions, provide some guidance, do some safety planning with somebody who's taken a very large step, which is to get a restraining order.
Right.
So we've got staff in Kapolei and on Punchbowl Street, which is where circuit court restraining orders are available, to help you understand what the process is, how to make best use of a restraining order once you get it, how to make other choices that are inevitable after you get a restraining order, where to stay, what kind of visitation you might want to arrange or not arrange with the abuser, those kinds of things. So we have an expo program. We have a staff of attorneys who help represent people in court on divorce, paternity, post-decree, restraining order cases. You must be a survivor of domestic violence to be eligible to receive our legal services.
And there's costs attached to this?
We have a sliding fee scale. We don't turn anybody away for their inability to pay, but there are costs associated with filing documents, the cost of doing business, basically. It's not free to get legal services.
No, it's not.
services. We also have a team of advocates who will help a person navigate their way from safe danger and uncertainty to safety and self-sufficiency.
Some of the services I'm guessing, are not something that costs money. So if
right.
somebody's really
correct.
So somebody just needs, I mean, there's the advocacy, not necessarily there's
no cost,
no cost, right? And that's
expo,
a really important
expo,
thing.
No cost. Help
What's
line,
expo?
No, expo is the on-site court.
Is that a name? Is that an acronym for something? Or? What
no.
is EXPO? E-X-P-O?
E-X-P-O.
Okay.
The first step in the process for obtaining a restraining order is called the ex parte.
Okay. Got
so
it.
We kind of gave birth to the name EXPO as a result of that.
That's cool.
Yeah. So You can receive an advocate to help you think through the many obstacles you're going to have to overcome and the best ways to get around them. We also have a program called Ho'oi Kaika Ohana, which is for Native Hawaiian families. Mm. These would be families who are out of crisis and wanting to rebuild and heal their families using cultural practices and reclaiming their cultural values. This is a federally funded program. It's a pretty exciting program here. We are one of six programs selected by the Department of Health and Human Services across the country to receive this particular category of funding.
They probably have something like that for Native America. I'm sure they have a laundry list of them for on the mainland. I'm just thinking, because the Native Americans have been so depressing to realize what has happened to them.
Yeah,
the exploitation and the amount of problems that go on reservations.
Cultural
and stuff.
Trauma.
And there's a lot of domestic violence is what I'm getting to. And so you would imagine.
Well, I just want to address a pretty common misconception that domestic violence is more common in certain kinds of ethnic communities and cultural groups than others. And really, that isn't the case.
Right.
Sometimes certain ethnic groups and cultural communities are overrepresented in client populations, but that's because resources are limited. If I'm a wealthy, well-resourced person, I might not have the need to go to a public facility or a community-based organization. I can go get my own private attorney and nobody has to know about it.
And that
my ethnicity is not counted anywhere.
Right. Yeah, so that changes how it gets tabulated in terms of where it's
or
happening.
Or understood, yeah.
So yeah, no, I just say that in total sympathy, not throwing anybody under the bus, just as someone who's always, I was raised to love Native American. My mom used to take me to powwows on the East Coast. So you just learn this is the trouble. So that's great that Native Hawaiian folks can get an opportunity to try to work this out in a way that works into
resonates for them.
Yeah, that resonates for them.
Because, I mean, again, another thing that we really have to understand is there's not a one-size-fits-all.
Right.
That the approach to addressing the problem of domestic violence is very individual.
Yep.
And has to be tailored to a particular family, a particular culture.
And the particular situation, because as you say, it's not one thing. And as you also pointed out, why is it not something you can always see? Oh, that person is suffering. Right. I mean, it could be verbal abuse.
Right. Correct.
And
correct.
That can be severe.
Correct.
And cause a lot of psychological problems. Funding for you guys?
We have been lucky enough to receive an array of funding support.
Servco, I know, generously helped you.
Servco selected us as one of the community organizations last year. Those gifts, you know, are
phenomenal,
incomparable.
Right, you can't even imagine.
Yeah.
Government help?
Well, we have a couple contracts with the state of Hawaii. The judiciary supports us, the Department of Human Services, City and County of Honolulu, their Department of Community Services, the federal government, private foundations, Hawaii Women's Legal Foundation, Hawaii Women's Fund, COSASA Foundation, Indigent Legal Assistance Fund, which are fees collected by the judiciary that are attached to filing of documents in court. All those monies are collected and then divided according to a formula to legal service providers. We are one of those. We have a pretty enthusiastic network of community supporters and donors, which we're always trying to build and cultivate.
And I'm imagining, and you'll correct me because I could be wrong with my imagination, who knows, but a lot of this comes down to the courtroom and the lawyers, some of them providing their service either at a lower rate or pro bono, no?
We don't really rely on pro bono legal services. We see this as a very specialized area of legal practice, and it takes a particular kind of a person, a significant investment in training and careful supervision to really help somebody face the devil in their abuser and the demon in themselves to get over all of the trauma that they've suffered.
But to offer a sliding scale, there's got to be somebody cutting you a break somewhere on the
leap. Well, that's our attorneys are staff. They are employees of the Domestic Violence Action Center.
So you're saying the donations and support and grants and funding that you get pays their salaries.
Correct.
So they're getting paid like any other attorney. Right. They're just specialized in doing it. And the way that people are getting a break is your organization
Correct.
Is cutting the people
yeah.
a break.
Right.
And
they're not getting, I have to clarify, they're not getting paid like any other attorney. Other attorneys make far more.
Okay.
Just, again, because this work, despite what I've just said 5 minutes ago, this work is fairly undervalued by the community. People want to believe this isn't that big a problem, and we've already addressed it, and we've handled this. And
10 calls a day to me says it's...
Yeah, it's...
That's a lot
robust.
Of numbers.
Yeah,
that's huge.
Yeah.
That's
well, and that's far, far fewer than probably the number of people who really need us.
Exactly, right,
yeah.
As you started by
yeah,
saying,
correct.
When you ask how much
yeah.
of this is there, this is...
Yeah. Yeah.
It's understandable you're not going to really know. I mean, it's kind of like facing hunger. How many people are in need of food? Because they're
right.
not. It's a similar pride issue, and
well, there's a lot of victim blaming.
Right.
Still.
Yeah, you made
despite,
this happen.
Yeah.
Why didn't you get out of it earlier?
Right. But I mean, again, you'd be amazed at how many people still hold those judgments and resort to victim blaming. I mean, we have been talking about this. I personally have been talking about the problem of domestic violence in this community for 35 years.
Right.
And that's one of the things that we still encounter.
I am sure it has been going on since when the Flintstones were actually really on the planet. I mean, really, it's probably been going on that long.
Well, the problem has, for sure.
Yeah.
But we've been trying to dispel the misconceptions
right.
about whose responsibility it is when somebody resorts to using violence and all the nuanced parts of the problem. This only happens to poor people or people who live in Palolo or people who have drug problems.
Right.
None of those things are true. This happens to upstanding, employed, educated, middle-class people.
Yeah. Well, when you look at some of the stories that come out in the news and Hollywood yeah. actors, famous
right.
actors who are really beloved by all kinds of people.
Correct.
And then all of a sudden their whole reputation is on the line because some woman is saying, this is what happened to me. So you look at that actor in a whole different way. And that points exactly to what mm-hmm. you're talking about. It's not there's no way to describe what neighborhood or what. So there's a lot of challenges. There's a lot of services that you offer, clearly, and a lot of ways that people should feel comfortable in taking that brave, courageous first step to just get on the helpline and reach out and I guess start there. But turning to how we can try to help this organization, because obviously you're doing a lot of good for people. What are the biggest challenges or ways that if you think to yourself, wow, right now I'm going to tap into this, the largest, most affluent evening drive audience in this state where I happen to be trying to help people. And maybe there are some people out there who could provide the new office space we need, the vehicle we need, the people on our board that we need, the financial contribution that we need. There's something really that's holding us back, or these are the things that constantly are most challenging in our day-to-day mission. What can we do to try to take a bite out of some of the labor that you've got and create a little bit of a little mini support systems for you?
I love that question. There are many, many things people can do to join us. If you're uncertain about it, and there's my reply earlier to there's not one size fits all about who gets victimized by domestic violence is something I want to reiterate, but in the context of who can help us and how can they help us, there's not one size fits all. People have different roles that they play. They're power brokers in different arenas. They have different levels of resource. They have different talent. If someone who's listening to us today thinks, you know what, I would like to get more involved in this, I would welcome a phone call from them. I would be thrilled to talk through with them a way that they could join us. Because there isn't one thing that everybody can do. Of course, everybody could send us money. That would be terrific. We don't need any office space, so that's good. A vehicle would be nice. We drive, but that has, you know, other situations. If you happen to be an employer or a business person or the owner of a company or a human resource professional, we have a program that we bring to companies to help train the workforce so that supervisors can be supportive when they encounter their own employees facing the problem of domestic violence. It's a very, very important place where a person goes every day. Mm-hmm. If they can feel supported there, that could change their, that could be life-altering. So that would be one thing I would encourage people if they were interested in bringing Domestic Violence Action Center, our DV Action Ready program into their workplace. We would be happy to do that. We're always looking for volunteers. We have a golf tournament coming up. If you play golf, you can...
When is that?
It's in April 2017. Not quite believing it's 2017, but it is. So we have a golf tournament in April. We're looking for golf teams. We're looking for supporters. We're looking for prizes.
Okay, so people can be in the tournament and they pay to be in the tournament. Correct. That raises funds for them. You need volunteers to help facilitate that event.
Correct.
You're looking for, did you say, like
prizes
that they can...
golfers who do participate.
So you can provide prizes. You can... So volunteer, be on the team, provide prizes, corporate sponsorship of the event.
Absolutely.
So there are a lot of ways that people can rope themselves into that one thing.
We're also going to be hosting Art After Dark in February at the Honolulu Museum of Art. Join us there. February 24th is the date. It's the last Friday of February. We are there in the month of February. Because of the juxtaposition of Valentine's Day and love and the perpetuation of crimes of violence against girls and women.
Makes sense.
It's also Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. One of the things we didn't get to in my list of what does DVAC do, we have a very active and innovative teen program. Come join us at Art After Dark. We are... part of a team of community organizations that help educate the legislature about public policy issues. If you are interested, you could reach out to us and find out what bills we are supporting or we're opposing.
And you can add weight to that.
Yeah, you could call your legislator or send an email. We are supporting the Hawaii State Judiciary budget, which is going to be under some careful scrutiny this year. If you have a your legislator happens to serve on the Judiciary Committee, either in the House or the Senate, you could make a supportive communication to your legislator.
Reach out to them and say, this organization needs the funding. They need the support. Don't think that I'm one of your constituents and don't let this go. This
Correct.
Is important to me.
Mm-hmm. Yes. There's other substantive bills. One of them, for example, is mandatory training for first responders, everybody who responds to a domestic violence incident. That could be an EMT, a firefighter, a police officer, a corrections officer, even though they're not first responders. They're kind of in the category, the list of people who encounter domestic violence in their daily work. The bill died last year. We're gonna bring it back. We don't think 10 hours of training is too much to ask. You cannot know what you need to know about responding effectively and appropriately without at least 10 hours of training.
Right.
Staff at the Domestic Violence Action Center participate in 4 days of training before they talk to anybody who's a victim of domestic violence. So just as a comparison.
Right. No, I mean, it's an important thing. And these are things, like you're saying, people can lean on their legislators
Correct.
Once it gets in there. And they can, I presume you keep updates at the website. I'm about to give the contact info, but you can go and make sure to know what legislation is happening that you guys are supporting via your site. If it's not posted, someone could call and ask you.
Yep. They're welcome to call us. That's an interesting suggestion.
Yeah. Maybe well, you gotta.
I mean, it happens very quickly. You know, the way things move at the legislature is not always easy to post. I mean, Facebook, you could post that, you know, instantly.
Yep.
But the website is a little...
If you have a blog or something,
yeah,
a news updates that people would find there.
Yeah.
Just something to keep in mind, because if people are, it's another resource. It's another thing that you can, because I know when you're trying to get something passed, it helps when you get people calling.
Yeah. Yep.
And this is not some stray concern. Not that there are, a lot of things are worthy causes, and this is one of them.
Right.
It's just a way to encourage folks. Let me give some contact.
Oh, okay.
So the contact information to a website that we've been talking about is domesticviolenceactioncenter.org. And from there, you can get a lot of other important contact information, like the legal helpline, which is 531-3771. That's for the Honolulu area. And then there's a toll-free hotline for islands and communities other than the Honolulu area, and that's 1-800-690-6200. These are 8:30 to 4:30 weekdays that's available. But it is a critical way to get in touch with somebody who can then map you out from there to go forward. They have the Teen Action Program. Is that what that is?
Teen Alert Program.
Teen Alert Program on Instagram. They have a website for it, tap808.org. They are on Facebook with the Teen Alert Program. They also are on Instagram and Facebook in general, just for the
Teen Alert Program.
And you can also get them via email, dvac@stoptheviolence.org.
Correct.
To email. And then to reach the office. So you mentioned before, if there are people listening and they want to be supportive and they're not calling for help, but they're calling because they want to get on your team, they would call 534-0040.
Correct.
To reach you, or email, which I just gave.
Yep.
You can always find the full interview with Nancy, the radio feature, all the contact information, and all of our other Helping Hand guests and all of their information and interviews archived at hawaiipublicradio.org. Just look for Helping Hand under the news links. A final thought that you think is important to get out there before we wrap it up?
This is a very important time for us as individuals to get involved in our community and to renew our commitment to our values. And we feel pretty strongly that safe families are at the core of a healthy community. And so if you can support our work in bringing safety and peace to island families, you're contributing to building a healthier community.
And there's a lot of ways that someone can do that, as you put. It's it can just be make a call and say, I don't know how I can help, but I want to help. Mm-hmm. This is,
And we can invent something together.
Right, exactly. Because there's a lot of ways to do good. Mm-hmm. It's the Domestic Violence Action Center that we've been privileged to have back on Helping Hand, CEO Nancy Creedman. An honor, huge to support what you're doing. Door is open. You don't have to wait for me to come get you to come be on again. Okay, you have an emergency, a situation you think you want to talk to this audience about. I'm your guy.
Thank you. I appreciate that.